all men are desperate, whether they admit it or not. Friends, that's actually the title of a book, and the author of that book is in the house right now. His name is Walter Spires. I'm Stu Epperson. This is Truth Talk Weekend. What about that title of that book, Men Being Desperate? He's got a heart for men. He's got a heart for everyone to lead people to Christ and to build them up in the Lord. But Walter Spires, man, I know you're getting some heads turning, some eyeballs coming at you with that title. What's up with that, man?
It's been a very provocative title in some ways, and it was intended to do that. You know, titles of books or movies are things that generally you put something that wants to grab someone's attention, right? And someone will look twice, or it causes them with a book to pick it up and then turn it over, look at the back cover to see what, you know, says is on the inside of this thing. So it has been good. It came out of my ministry for many years with men. I've been involved with homeless men, men with addictions, men in prison, and then the hardest group of all, men in the church. And so where the tagline came from was men in the prison, men in the mission, homeless men, they're desperate and admit it. They have hit life's rock bottom. The challenge becomes men in the church, men in business that are successful, they're desperate and won't admit it. Mm. And so our definition of God and his goodness is typically tied to, especially in the United States, because we're such a wealthy nation, to our stuff, right? If I have my six-figure job and my wife is faithful, my kids aren't on drugs and things like that, then God is good. But let some of those things start to unravel, as some of my dear brothers who are very, very less fortunate, then all of a sudden we question the goodness of God out of that. And so we've tied this to a material thing in our stuff. And so Desperate Men is about peeling that back to show that we really are all desperate. And it starts with five different characters. There's an addict, a prisoner, a pastor, a rich man, and who's my fifth one? The business guy, and traveling business guy. Kind of parallels all of our lives. And we take them through part one, just what that looks like. And the fact that, for example, in prison, we may not have been in prison and served time, but there's a section talked about not all prisons have bars. Mm. We talk about the prisons of life, prisons of what other people think. Prisons of opinions of others, things that trap people and imprison us, even though there's no bars around us. Prisons of our past is a huge one, especially when I'm speaking with women. You know, people get caught up in that whole thing. So that's what the part one. Part two is called The Journey Through the Cross, and that's really the most important part of the book because, like you, Stu, I'm a real believer in challenging people in their faith to make sure they understand what the real gospel is, and to define what a true biblical Christian is. And I use that phrase because we talk a lot about cultural Christians, but a cultural Christian really isn't a Christian at all. You know, it's that thing of, well, I'm a Jew because I was born a Jew, or I'm a Catholic, well, I'm a this, or I'm a Baptist. That has nothing to do, as you know, with whether or not we're truly saved. And so second part of the book, Journey Through the Cross, just walks them through what it means to be a born-again biblical Christian and identifies that. And then the third part's called The Journey Home, which is how we grow in Christ, how we continue to, what a desperate man looks like who's desperate for more of Christ than more from him. Mm. And that change of prepositions is a big thing. We want more of him rather than just more from him. Too many people have God as our heavenly gumball machine,
right?
You know, our eternal blessing machine. And so that's sort of the three parts of the journeys of the book.
And the taking men deeper, really everyone in their life, you know, it's honestly... You say you're a man, you know, they say it's for desperate men, but there's desperate women, desperate children. There's all kinds of senior adults that need the Lord. We all need the Lord, but we get so distracted. Like we talked about this morning, you know, when you were at our Wednesday in the Word, it was really good to have you there. You shared a word. Goodness gracious. It was such a blessing about how your ministry is helping so many folks that are playing professional dress up, professional church, right? What was that statement you made that really was a shot over the bow? I'm like, wow, I just need to shut up and let this guy take over this whole thing here.
Well, one of the things the Spirit's kind of breathed into my spirit is that this ministry really isn't as much to the classical desperate men, as I mentioned, people that are homeless and really desperate from a financial point of view, but to the guys in the church that want to challenge us to, because we have so many that are what I call over-churched and undersaved.
Hmm.
And that's a matter of discipleship. Wow. We're not discipling men. I spent time last year, spent 5 months going around the country, ended up developing an ebook out of it called How the Church in America is Failing Men. It's on the website. You can download it. It's video pieces as well as the PDF parts to that. Mm. And what came out of that was the challenge in the church begins with the senior pastors. There's no men's ministry going on because, for example, one of the stats that's staggering is that over 30% of pastors are dealing with pornography. Mm. And I was talking to a couple of pastor friends of mine, senior pastors, seasoned men, they're retired, and I said, that sounds ridiculously high. And they said, no, it's actually probably pretty low.
Wow.
That's disturbing, right? And so the point they made was, how are men that are leading churches going to call men into community, into discipleship community, when they're not there themselves?
Yeah.
They're not going to call you into accountability if I'm not being held accountable.
It's got to happen at all levels.
It has to
discipleship
happen at all levels.
Discipleship is for the guy at the top and the guy at the bottom, everyone, yeah. Right?
And accountability is, too. I think it starts with accountability, and that's really a missing piece, and I would like to stress that. And, you know, I've started teaching homeless women as well fairly recently, and I was in the women's mission in Nashville, and there were about 150 or so women there with their children, and I had this lesson prepared, and as we went... As I started to go through it, I just got so grieved in my spirit looking out at these women that were really desperate in every sense of the word, looking to me to teach, and I couldn't teach. What I laid down what I had, and I just stood up there and began to, it was hard not to weep through this, but began to apologize vicariously for the men in their lives, because most of those women were there just clinging to children, had no place to go, homeless, raining, cold, all that, and they're in there because of the failures of guys like us who abandoned them, who abused them. And I was overwhelmed. I was so overwhelmed. It's hard to even speak about it now. That God just said, you know, this is even more important than I even realized because the women are just desperate to have godly men in their lives. You know, when I talk to women that are mothers, or my wife, she vets everything that I do. And so she wants a godly husband. She wants someone breathing into my spirit. She wants a godly father to our children. Most women, and particularly women in the church, want that, right? They want that for their husbands. They want that for their children. And yet, again, in the church, we're dealing with children's ministry, youth ministry, college ministry, women's ministry, but the tip of the spear is not being dealt with. And we're the tip of the spear. If you believe what the Bible teaches, and we follow a biblical mandate for that. So anyway, that's why I do what I do. And
wow. Well, we're going to get into that in the next segment. What does it look like to be a man desperate for God? And how can men, and really all people, come to a point where they will admit that they're desperate? You know, I want to get into that with you. And then I got a very important question to ask, and we'll have to hold this to the next break, the next segment after this break, and that is, who is Walter Spires? We got to talk about you a little bit, your journey to Christ, your journey to the cross, your journey home. And I'm telling you what, stay tuned. This is a podcast, so this whole podcast will be one. But for our radio friends, we're going to take a quick break to let local affiliates identify themselves and to tell you a few cool things in between those breaks. This is what Walter says in his book, My Dear Friends, lean in closely and read what God has to say to you. You may be desperate or without hope apart from any relationship with Christ who loves you completely and unconditionally. Mm. Or you may be desperately trying to find your way back to him. Perhaps you are simply desperate for more of him. I have good news for you. Just as you are, wherever you are, no matter what you've done, the Lord God invites you to come. Come in. Come closer. Come up higher. Please do not pass up his invitation. Walter Spires in his book, All Men Are Desperate, Whether They Admit It or Not. Maybe he wrote this book to me because I'm starting to get really convicted and encouraged. Walter, this is so cool. Your book, of course, is at your website, desperatemen.org. Is that right?
That's right.
So you also have some Facebook presence.
Right. Facebook, and it's on Amazon as well.
Okay, when we come back, we're also going to play your little 60-second devotional spark plug that I actually get on my email on a regular basis. And we'll talk more about how we can impact men and women of God desperate but not admitting it. And we're going to hear firsthand from Walter on the other side of this break on Truth Talk Weekend. Hang on. Podcast is coming. Also, follow me at Truth Network's website, truthnetwork.com, at Stu Epperson on Twitter, on Instagram as well, and on Facebook. And we're coming right back. Hang on. All men are desperate, whether they admit it or not. What a provocative title. And the provocative author who God put this on his heart, is in the studio with me right now on our Truth Talk Weekend podcast, our radio show. We're videoing this also for TV. His name is Walter Spires, a great man of God. Walter, we're going to do some tweeting, and I'm going to put you on Instagram to challenge people.
Okay.
I love what you said about, what was that, the church, undersaved, oversaved?
Over-churched, undersaved.
Yeah. Wow. We have a lot of folks that are over-churched and undersaved, but this book, really, you said something a little bit about, you know, what, you know, and let's go there. This is very relevant, and we're going to hear a little of your testimony, which is really powerful, too. What does it mean to be a desperate man? You had some people ask you for the definition of that. And early on in the book, you kind of had to unpack that, didn't you? Tell everyone what that means.
Well, I didn't have a definition initially. I just, in the first page of the book, you'll see where it talks about things that look like a desperate man. Men are desperate for success, for recognition, for achievement, things that we're desperate for. But I was leading a group in prison, and I don't know, the Lord just impressed upon me. Now, here's the definition. Here's the word. A desperate man is a man who's come to the end of himself with or without a relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. with or without a relationship with Christ. Because I know men, and you do too, that are desperate and lost apart from relationship with Christ. And we know men who are in Christ, but struggling, maybe have walked away. Circumstances, things push us away sometimes. We let that. We have a powerful enemy. Satan is out there to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus called him the father of liars. And so he's on us to constantly do that and make sure that we're broken and are desperate for the wrong things, moving us to the wrong place.
Awesome. And you just, we're also going on Instagram Live. We've got some folks, I'm going to wave back to them, that are watching this. So we're going to do some video, probably put this on StuTube. And we're doing radio, we're doing podcasting. And this is the book, friends, All Men Are Desperate, Whether They Admit It or Not. This is powerful. This needs to be, any man in your life, this needs to be in their hands. It's a simple read, too. I'm a basketball player, and I didn't have a hard time reading it, so which is not true of everything, you know. So we are so glad you're here, Walter Spires. And you've got a journey you're going to tell us about. He just talked about, for those of you that just joined us, what it means to be over-churched and under-saved, which is really cool. He came to my men's group this morning and lit us up with some powerful words and sharing. And afterward, the guys just jumped on you, man. They're like, hey, I want to talk to this guy, didn't they? Wasn't that cool?
It was very cool. It's just a great group. What a terrific group. And bless, God bless you for just what you're doing with that men's ministry. And we're just trying to get that going and stir it up. When, you know, there's a myth that men don't want to be in groups, don't want to be in community. Oh my gosh, could not be further from the truth. Once we get them there, they open up, they want to be there. It's just the coolest thing. I've got groups going around. I've got one of businessmen right now going on. And it's just great. I mean, this guys really want to open up and hear that and tell their story. So my story is pretty simple. I'm a Navy brat, grew up all over the country, and my father retired the Navy in South Carolina, is what we call home. I did my undergraduate work at Clemson. They're really good right now. Not so much when I was there. And
you cheered for Clemson when they weren't winning national championships.
I tell you, I was a cheerleader at Clemson when there was absolutely nothing to cheer about.
There you go, man.
But I did get to stand next to a really pretty girl, so that made it worth it.
Anyway. Literally a cheerleader.
I was a real cheerleader, yeah.
Like, could you do hamstrings?
No, but see, that's the thing. I was there just before the generation where you had to have some talent to do it.
I got you.
I didn't have any talent
to
do it.
You couldn't do cartwheels?
Couldn't do all that stuff.
But you could hold people up.
I could hold people up,
You were part of a pyramid scheme, weren't you?
One of the original ones.
Unbelievable.
That's right.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway.
So you're at Clemson, you're going through the college thing, and how did God get a hold of you?
You know, I was, you know, raised in the church, grew up in the church, walked the aisle, got baptized, and then never really discipled in it, went through college, graduate school. I've got a master's in biomedical engineering from Tulane. I've got a master's in business. Got into business, helping start a small company that became a big, big company. And I don't know, the Lord put me in a place, this season in my life, where I was lonely and doing well on the business side, but just lonely and frustrated. And always had that root, that, you know, that thing that your moms pray for you in Proverbs, that, you know, that the child will always return. You know, you've got it in your spirit that you'll come back to the Lord. And so the Lord put me in circumstances and places that really my own desperate place, if you will, to get back in the church, plug in, get discipled, started being discipled by a man in a program called the Timothy Program. It's an old Navigators program way back.
Yep.
And that just turned my life around. And a guy, a little Greek man, became my mentor and spiritual father, and still know him this day. He's about 95 years old, and So that was a great bringing me back into the Lord. Got real excited about the church, got plugged in, started studying the Word of God, and I've been tracking with him about 40-plus years
That's
now.
That's awesome. So you were that desperate man that you write about in this book, looking for, searching for Jesus. And so many people are stuck. So many people that don't know the Lord that we're inviting to come to Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason they're stuck is they're not saved. They need to give their heart to Christ. But there's so many believers, men, women, young people who are stuck. I mean, I talk to teenagers like, oh, no one else is living for God. I'm partying. And yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But they're not living for God. And, you know, and no one else is, everyone else is partying. But that doesn't have to be true.
That's right.
You're calling people to know Jesus on a deeper level. Talk about that. Challenge people out there, men, women, young people, on how it's time that they got serious about God. Quit putting God first on your daggum profile. Put him first in your life.
Absolutely.
What do you say to the folks, all the people?
You know, there are no cultural Christians. That phrase is used quite a bit today, and our culture is doing everything it can to tear us down, to keep you from speaking the truth, keep you from knowing the truth, keep you from understanding the truth. Prayer's been taken out of schools. You know, we just do everything that we can to try to, or our culture tries to do everything it can to keep us away from God. And again, Satan is using that. Satan is using that to try to kind of come between us and the Lord. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And the evidence that you're in Christ, that you truly repented and were born again, is that you will turn and go the other way and try to live for Christ. And so what I challenge people, first and foremost, young people, and even grown men in my groups and women, is this. Ask yourself this question. Did you really get saved? You know, were you really, really born again? Do you understand what that meant, that Christ died for you and that he is the only one? He's made a way. And it's the incredible love of God that makes that way. Wow. But the challenge, the other challenge too, and people don't want to hear this anymore. We were preaching it years ago. I believe it, just as equally as it, there's the full counsel of God we talk about and teach, right? And the love of God is clearly paramount in that because God is love. But that's what people want to lock onto today. But they don't want to understand the fact that God is also just and demands justice and perfection. And we say, well, how can we be that? Well, you can't except for the blood of Christ. And that makes you, we're being made, we're being saved is what Paul said, right? We are saved, but we're being saved, that process, that the churchy word is sanctification. Yeah. But we have to understand that all along the way, Satan's trying to tear us down, pull us away. But the first thing you've got to do is challenge yourself, did I really understood what it meant to receive Christ as my Savior? Or did I just want to get fire insurance? Right. Well, trust me, God didn't sell fire insurance. You're not in that business, okay? Or if you just want the love of God and you don't want all the other things to come along with that, well, trust me, cherry picking the Bible, and that means you probably aren't saved.
But the true love of God, the true gospel love, is a transforming love.
Transforming.
So you can't divorce it from, you can't just say, well, you know, there's that love compels a changed life.
That's right.
It's not, you know, so we tend to make these two things. We tend to, like we talked this morning about Mary and Martha, serving versus devotion, work versus worship. Well, the fact is, if you're truly sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary was, you will serve. If you truly know Jesus, you will tell people about him. If you truly have a relationship with Christ, as you talk about in your book, it will come out. It'll come out. It's contagious.
That's right.
It's not just thumping people over the head with your big King James Bible. It's the love of Jesus. If people followed you around all day today, could they tell that you love Jesus? Could they tell who you were madly in love with Jesus Christ? Or are you all about your boyfriend? Are you all about your girlfriend? Are you all about your stuff? You know, I mean, what defines you? And if you truly know Jesus, and I love how you journey to the cross in your book and you journey home in your book, if you truly know Jesus and love him, it takes over you, doesn't it?
It takes over. Yeah, it's a process. I mean, it's hard, you know, we understand it's three steps forward, two back sometimes, but it is a process. And it is a transforming process. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds, what Paul said. So we have to just stay on that path moving forward. Ultimately, the net is moving forward in Christ, growing that relationship. But if you're not getting discipled, if you're not in the Word, if you're not praying, if you're not doing the things he said, here's how you do this, then how can you expect to grow?
Discipleship is so critical. Discipleship changed your life. You were discipled, and now you're discipling.
Yes.
That's a really good question that godly man asked me not too long ago. He said, Stu, who are you discipling? And who's discipling Stu? And let's ask that to everyone that's watching, that's listening. You know, because that's really what it takes, you know, going through a book like this with someone, going through a book like this, the Bible, with someone, and just walking through Scripture and helping each other grow. And, you know, it's not beating each other up like I'm your parole officer. It's, man, here's an amazing gifted man of God. How am I bringing those gifts? What's your spiritual gifts? How is God using you to change this world? Mm-hmm. And God's put me in your life. God's put him in my life to push me to be all I can be for Jesus. Because he's coming back soon.
Yeah.
And there's millions that have never even heard about him, including the people you're in school with right now. Yeah. Well, what's your challenge as we go home?
If you're not in community, get there. If you're a man or a woman, young person, first find a good Bible-believing church, and then get yourself in community with someone. Small groups have kind of become a big popular thing to do. That's a great thing to do.
Churches that are discipling are churches that are growing, right?
That's right.
That's what they're supposed to be, and you're calling the church to discipleship. And we'll keep going into another segment. Truth Talk Weekend, stations all over the country like Jacksonville, Florida. The Truth, 91.3 FM, 91.7 FM, 91.9 FM, up and down northern Florida there and into southern Georgia. And Walter Spires is our guest. His book, All Men Are Desperate, Whether They Admit It or Not. Now, you have the word no there. You mark through no and put admit it. Why did you do that? This is a little nuance he did on his own cover of his own book. What's up with that, Walter?
Well, it's one thing to know something. It's another to admit it.
Okay.
I can have the head knowledge, just like I can know I'm a sinner. Yeah. But until I admit it and confess that sin, I don't get saved. So until I really, I can know I'm desperate in my heart of hearts. But until I admit it or confess that, nothing's going to change.
Interesting. So that really... In the Christian life, how many people know about God?
Yes, exactly.
But don't truly know him, like in a personal relationship where, like, your life has been changed by him.
Yes.
And so your life has been changed by Jesus. And this is simply, and you've written some other books too, but this is a reflection of that. And you're trying to grab as many people as you can and bring them in to that abundant life. Can I read this quote again? I really like this,
sure.
Walter. This is right from this is from his book, and I like how you put a caption on a lot of awesome endorsers of your book. Robert Lewis, who I've met, the founder of the Men's Fraternity. You've got all kinds of people, the National Rescue Mission. You go to rescue missions. You go to prisons. You find desperate people everywhere, right?
That's right.
And the prison, by the way, that many people are in doesn't have bars. There's people on the inside who are in less of a prison than people that are walking around free right now, maybe watching this on Instagram. How is that? How can that be, Robert? How can that be, Walter? I'm here, Robert Lewis. How can that be, Walter?
Because of the freedom in Christ. I see that in prison, and it's the most amazing thing to see someone who's incarcerated, going to be there for many, many years, and yet they've got more freedom sitting in that jail cell than a person walking around free, going to church. And it's just an amazing thing because they really get it. That transformation is going on. The Holy Spirit is really working. And so they understand true freedom rather than just thinking we've got it walking around when we're in prisons without bars. Wow. It's an amazing thing to see.
And Walter says this, my dear friends, lean in closely and read what God has to say to you. You may be desperate and without hope apart from any relationship with Christ who loves you completely and unconditionally. Or you may be desperately trying to find your way back to God. Perhaps you are simply desperate for more of him. I have good news for you. Just as you are, wherever you are, no matter what you've done, the Lord God invites you to come. Come in. Come closer. Come up higher. Do not pass up his invitation. Walter, that's really the heartbeat of this book, isn't it?
It is.
It's a call back to God.
Call him.
But the cover's amazing. You grab him. Doesn't he grab you with that cover right there? Isn't that cool? All men are desperate, whether they admit it or not. Now, your website, desperatemen.org, is where people can get, I guess people can get copies of this book. They want to give a gift for a birthday, a Christmas gift, whatever. They can get, you know, there's men's ministries. There's pastors that may want to buy a case of these. I mean, it might be bad, though, if the men in their church start reading this and they start becoming more turned on to discipleship and stuff, or even men, women, you know, young people. We better be careful about this. This is dangerous literature, Walter. What do you say?
I say that. You can get on Amazon as well.
Okay.
So, I appreciate your opportunity to do this, talk about it. It is a call to invite people in. You know, just invite people to come to know Christ. If you don't know Christ, why not? I always challenge people when I'm speaking to whatever group, and I don't presume, even in a church full of people, been there forever. First thing is, you know, just to challenge them about their relationship with Christ. I think we have to do that. even if it offends somebody sometimes. The name, by the way, Desperate Men, I was told by a number of people, including ministry friends of mine, desperate is the wrong word. People will not like that word.
Yeah.
They don't. No one
That's
wants
right.
to admit it. I've gone in people's offices where that was like that because they didn't want anyone to walk by and see it on their desk because they think, well, yeah. you must have issues,
if
right?
If I read this book, you might think I'm in trouble.
That's right. And you think, well, I've got issues. And I said, well, I've got bad news for you. You do have issues. I'm sorry.
That's right. Let's. How are you doing? And then how are you really doing? Now, one thing Walter does, you guys will enjoy, we're going to play this on radio real quick. Jasper, cue up this thing. I just emailed it to you. We'll play it. It's a 60-second version, and it's called a men's minute? Is that what it's called?
No, Minute for Men.
Minute for Men. So we're going to play that right now and come back after you hear this one. I sent the seeing is believing one. So
Okay. Radio
folks, and also we'll play the audio on TV while you flash his book and on Instagram. Don't know what we'll do with you people, but play this real quick, Jasper. This is called A Minute for Men. A Minute for Men.
Here's Walter Spires with today's Minute for Men.
The second sense we must develop is sight. This statement will get your attention. We must lose our sight to gain Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8, we are saved by grace through faith, and in 2 Corinthians 5:7 went on to say, we walk by faith, not by sight. Finally, the writer of Hebrews added, faith is the evidence of things unseen. We must stop seeing this world as having anything for us and see it for what it does give, allures that serve only to take our eyes off Jesus. My dear brothers, the world teaches that seeing is believing. Jesus reversed this by teaching believing is seeing. Years after the Apostle Peter finally understood what this meant, he wrote in 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Father God, make us blind to the things of this world and open our eyes to behold your glory.
For information about Desperate Men Ministry or Walter's book, All Men Are Desperate Whether They Admit It or Not, visit DesperateMen.org. That's DesperateMen.org.
Walter, we're almost out of time. I want to ask you, you know, your challenge to people out there. I mean, for pastors that are listening, for people in the pew, getting back to that first love with Jesus, getting back to that the simplicity of walking with him. We're not challenging everyone to go do. Go start performing. Do more for God. You're trying to challenge people to come into that relationship. Will you take us home with your heartbeat on that and just give some hope and comfort to people out there? So many people are desperate, like the title of your book says. All men are desperate, whether they admit it or not. That could be women. That could be children. That could be anybody. Give us a challenge as we go home. Give us some comfort and hope, will you?
You know, for men, I always like to go to David. David was such an incredible man. Shepherd, king, father, husband, but he messed it all up. He messed up everything. There was not a more desperate man in the Bible than David. Adulterer and murderer as well. And here's what's interesting. He's the only man in all of Scripture that God called a man after my own heart.
Mm.
So I just challenge men from, you know, a prison cell, guys who have killed people, all the way through guys just wrestling with fidelity with their wives or something. Listen, there's nothing that you've done that David didn't do, and yet God called him a man after my own heart. Why? Because you read Psalm 51, you will know why. He was broken and contrite. He was broken and contrite before the Lord. He said, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. And he begged forgiveness, and God loved that. He didn't love what he did, but he loved that broken and contrite heart. And that's what it takes for us to come to Christ, to come to God, where we had that relationship restored and we have hope. And all the things that God has promised for us, he never stops loving us. There's nothing you can do that can make him stop loving you ever, not one thing. Where you are doesn't matter. God loves you unconditionally and will never leave you or desert you or forsake you. He has promised that as long as you come to him with a broken, contrite heart in Christ, seeking forgiveness, blood of Christ, and then living by the power of the Holy Spirit. That'll do it.
I love it. All men are desperate, whether they admit it or not. Get this book for whoever you want to bless at DesperateMen.com. .org or at Amazon, all the different places books are sold, and we're going to get some too from you and want to be a blessing to your ministry. But thank you, man, so much.
Thank you, brother.
What
glad
an awesome
to be
deal
here.
To have Walter Spires in the house.
Great.
We'll definitely have you back.
Thank you.
Hey, this is a journey, right?
It is a journey.
And fraught with temptations and pitfalls, but God is a good God. Jesus Christ is real, and he's calling us to go to the cross. He's calling us to come to him, into relationship with him, to trust him, to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. and daily in that journey, in that Christian journey, go back to your roots, go back to your first love of Jesus.
Amen.
And reignite that fire that you once had with him. He's waiting for you.
Absolutely.
Right? So, Walter Spires, thank you, man. God bless you. Truth Talk Weekend. We're out for this segment. Find more about us at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all these other cool places as well.